And as I just said, we know how law works, we know how righteousness works, we know how justice works, but how does love accomplish the things that we seem to see in Scripture if we allow the Spirit to open our eyes? And one of the best ways that I found to understanding it is to understand love, and by this I mean God's love, spiritual love, and this is what we're talking about, spiritual love, as a spiritual force. And we have just completed now looking at some of the aspects of a force, the properties, just of a concept of a force. And a force has three properties that are very important to us, and we've studied these now. Force has direction, and that is extremely important in a force, and we studied it this time from not only the way we've been looking at it, but another aspect of it, and that is how force can actually change the direction. A person can be moving in one direction and be hit with the force of God's love, and if that force is so great, it'll actually change the direction of their life. That's how love works. How can love change a person? How can love cause this to happen? If we understand that love is of such a powerful spiritual force, especially God's love, it can actually start a body that is stationary, let's say that's an unbeliever or a believer, and when that person is hit with spiritual love, boom, it just takes off in the direction of the plan of God. Let's say that an object is going, and the object is a person, is going in the wrong direction, and boom, he's hit with spiritual love, it could actually change the direction of that person's entire life. That's how powerful love is. This gives us a sense, if we can understand it this way, of how this love works and that concept. Then we studied the idea very briefly, introduction, we're going to look at it all the way through our study, that spiritual love also has magnitude. Now, I've got to come back up with this dealing with God's love in a little bit, but magnitude is the measurability of love. Love can be measured. No greater love hath any man. You must love me more than. Concepts like that. The measure. We've seen that spiritual love from the human being, that can be increased. We can increase the magnitude of spiritual love. Then third, we saw in the study here that a spiritual force or force has impact or effect. And so we looked at the impact or the effect. And one of the things that we saw with this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's the multitude, the magnitude of it. Giving is always related to spiritual love, and that's fundamental to understanding how spiritual love works. Somebody may say, I love you, but one thing about love is a force, and as a force, it is not stagnant. It is not stagnant. So if there is love, since love is a force, it is going to reveal itself, manifest itself. One of the primary ways is in giving. For God so loved the world, he gave, and the magnitude of his love, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So here is the giving of life under the force of the magnitude of love. Now, one other thing that I want to, before we move into an entirely different momentum here, I wish that hadn't this done, but one other thing that I want to close here with is, when we compare spiritual love and spiritual force, and the force that we're using, there's a good reason. The force that we're using is gravity, and the reason for we're using, I chose to use gravity, is because gravity is invisible, it's indefinable, you can't define it, physicists cannot define it, don't even know how it works. Gravity holds the whole, not just the Earth, gravity holds the entire galaxy together. It's all held together by gravity. And if we think of a parallel concept, that means the whole of the universe is held together by the love of God. And so many things that are going to come to, but gravity is a pull. Now, a force is known as a push-pull, like the electromagnetic force, that both pushes and pulls, but it isn't going to work for our study. And then there's the nuclear force. But here we have gravity that is this pull. So we're looking at the love of God as it were pulling on us. Now, one thing that is kind of important just to have in our minds as we go through the characteristics of love or the impacts and effects of love, gravity does not make a decision to function. Gravity, there's no volition or decision at all involved. It's we call it the law of gravity, but it's what happens. And it's not up to our volition to come under this. We're all affected by it, whether we want to be or not. We are affected by gravity. Some of us more to pull than others, but we are affected by gravity. But when it comes to spiritual love, when it comes to having the love of God flowing through us, under like the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, by this all will know that you are mine, we do make a decision. We make a decision to love, and our decision to love is what kind of a decision? What are we really making a decision to do? Huh? Correct. Ours is to love. We are making a faith decision. We are deciding, I'm going to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the only place that we can tap into this love. And if I want this love, then I've got to tap into the Holy Spirit, and the way we tap into the Holy Spirit is by our faith. So to increase our love, our decision of love, is really a faith decision. Now, where we want to begin tonight, and this is where I would have liked to have started tonight, ma'am, I want to look briefly at the categories of love on earth. And a lot of my contemporaries wish there were different words for various categories of love. I'm glad there isn't in English, because there's some common elements about love, I think, that are common to all categories of love. For an example, direction, magnitude, and effect. And if we can understand that, in fact, if I were teaching a class of young single people, it would be entirely different than I would have done in the past. But because now we can get a handle on some of the things of what love is. But there are three categories of love that we can look at on earth. And they come from three different sources or beings. First of all, there is divine love. There is divine love. This is the love that comes from God, of course. God is love. Okay, secondly, we're going to look at human love very briefly, but we're going to note it. Human love. Coming, that love that comes from human beings. And then third, there is spiritual love. Spiritual love. This is a love that comes from a new spiritual creature, and can only come from a new spiritual creature when empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Now, if somebody wanted to press me, let's say you raise your hand and you really want to press this, that this third one, in its final analysis, is divine love. And that is true. So let's just recognize that now. Yes, in that sense, spiritual love is divine love. But I'm giving it this handle so that we can talk about it as a love that comes through you and I, as we walk by faith in the Spirit, as a little distinct from direct divine love from God without going through an agency. So we're going to talk about spiritual love that comes through a new spiritual creature by the power of God the Holy Spirit. So it flows through us in this new creature, but we're going to look at it as a unique and distinct source of love in the in the universe. Now, no matter which category you're talking about, whether you're talking about divine love, love of God, human love, or spiritual love, I like the idea that they all have this word. Not going to look for a new word, new clever word here, so that we could have something different for God, something different for human, and something different from here. I like it that it's love, and I don't get confused by it, as long as we're talking about the source, because there is some common properties. There's some common properties in understanding love, so that even in the realm of human love, somebody says, I love you, you're able to look at it, and because love will manifest itself, it's a force, and take a look at some things about when a person says, I love you. And what is the value, the impact, the effect, the direction of their love. So it becomes something very powerful in that regard. Secondly, the quality or usefulness of love in history is determined by the category, the source, or the power. In other words, people, from the divine perspective, this one has of no value. You know the verse, for our righteousness is filthy rags before him. People, the same concept is true of our love. Our love is nothing before him. If our righteousness is nothing before him, certainly our love is nothing before him. Our love has no power, impact, meaning positive, in the plan of God. Now, what we are going to see, and I'll get into it, but we are going to see that this category of love, human love, can actually be of such magnitude that you don't sense the pull of God's love on you. Because the magnitude, the measurability of human love is so powerful. Many, many people are taken away from, or pulled away from divine love because of the magnitude of human love operating. Either their love for something, the love of money, or the love of someone else pulling them. So it can be family, romance, just pulling. And it pulls so hard, with such magnitude, not hard, such magnitude, like our analogy of the plane. Here's the earth, and the plane takes off, and the further it gets away from the earth, the weaker the pull of gravity is on the plane. The further, let's take this as your life, and here is the pull, let's take this line now, is a pull of love, human love, some categories, human love here, pulling you away. You're not even aware of divine love pulling on you, on your life. What has to happen sometimes, people, is that God has to come along and just knock all that out until you fall flat on your face. And with your face down on the ground, what is this pull I'm feeling? You're feeling the pull of God's love that you haven't felt before. This is why sometimes when people in the crisis of life become more aware of faith, become more aware of God's love than they ever do while riding up here. So he knocks out all of that and says, people, what we're going to see, this is inevitable love. We're going to talk about the inevitable concept of the love of God. So here is inevitable love. He will make it clear to you, his love. So we're going to take a look in that respect. But what I want you to see here is the quality of love in your life, the quality of love in the universe depends on its source from the spiritual view. This is going to have no value in the spiritual. And so what we're going to be looking at, these two categories of love, as far as your life is concerned, as it relates to your life and to eternity. We're going to tie in this. Let me overlap these two in a wonderful way. But make sure you understand, you've got to love me more than even you love your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, these types of things. So the love that is commanded by Jesus Christ, spiritual love, will have usefulness. What's its primary usefulness? Letting the world know that you belong to Christ. The new commandment. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are mine. What is the usefulness of loving as Christ loves? The usefulness in the spiritual warfare that we are in is to let people know that we belong to him. Not because we say so. Not because of our doctrine. Not because of our creed. Not because of how often we go to church. Not because of how much of the Bible we know. But do we love as he loved? That's one of the great magnitude, the great effect or impact of spiritual love, is that in the spiritual warfare, it's going to let all know that we belong to him. This is the way God would love. This is God's love that you are witnessing. So we're going to see this is the highest quality of love on earth that we can attain. Now, there are many things to understand about love. We just described magnitude, direction, effect. Now we're looking at the source of love. We're going to look at the usefulness of love in our lives, in the universe. There's a lot of ways we're going to look at it. First of all, the usefulness of love inside of me. And it's because it's very important. This is not selfish. There's a usefulness of love inside of me. Let me just give you an idea. The usefulness of love is that love is long-suffering. That's only inside of me. That's something that starts happening inside of me. And because love is long-suffering, love is kind. Now, that's what the world will see. So what I want you to begin to realize is that there is a lot of things in the usefulness of love, spiritual love, that starts to go on in the universe. And so one of the resources of love that I have here, one of them is really useless in the spiritual warfare unless it is going to be wrapped and reinforced by spiritual love, but that's human love. But what I want us to understand how powerful it is. How powerful spiritual or human love is. That's why I'm going to include it in our study so we can keep coming back and forth on these things. It is so powerful that a lot of people never walk in spiritual love. Their love of their family, their love of the praise of man, they don't want to be ill thought of or whatever. Their love for a woman, their love for a man, whatever it is, becomes so powerful of magnitude, you're not aware of the love, and causes great decisions that lead away from spiritual life. People have actually walked away from spiritual love making decisions here in the realm of human love. So it needs to be addressed properly in the study. Now, let me talk about titles and handles and all of this for a moment. Titles that I'm using, not to be cute, clever, spiritual love, for example, all this type of thing, the original, that wasn't my thinking at all, isn't my thinking at all. What I want to do is give us some handles so that as we talk about these things, we know what realm we're talking about, have some idea of what we're talking about. For example, if I said, okay, we're going to talk about sexual love. Okay. I guess nearly everybody here knows, has some idea what it's going to be about. Some idea. And some may be disappointed we're not going to talk about it. But you have some idea. Sexual love. Okay. I know what realm that's going to be in, and I want to learn about that, or I don't want to, or, you know, all of this kind of thing. And that's all I want to do here. Is by title we get some idea of the category, the subject, the mind immediately goes to something that we can start talking about. So we're going to talk about spiritual love. If we talk about, well, we talk about divine love. Everybody knows, okay, talk about the love of God. Something about God and love, God's love. If we talk about spiritual love, we're talking about love that comes from the Holy Spirit to a spiritual creature. That's why I came up with spiritual love. Holy Spirit, spiritual creature, spiritual impact. Most people understand the word, the concept of spiritual gift. So we're just talking about spiritual love, that which is in a born-again believer, operative only when empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. So the titles are just immediately get our mind into the areas of where we're talking about, divine love, human love, love that comes from the human being, and then spiritual love, the love of the person filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's talk about divine love, and I got one very important thing there that we've got to be sure we get clear in this that we didn't do last time. Divine love. This is a love that comes from God, from the being of God, expressed from God. Best thing I can do here is give you some points. We don't do this very often anymore, but sometimes we just got to get our thinking down and get some point form, and so we follow through on what we're doing. Now, point one, God does not choose to love. God does not choose to love. God is love. Love is the essence of God. And people, please begin to appreciate that and get that into your soul, because when I tell you some things about spiritual love and the impact of spiritual love, it's what love is and what love does. And so it's going to become important. God doesn't choose to love. God is love. So just like what we said a moment ago, you and I, if we want love, we do make a choice. Our choice is faith, but what we want is love. So we do make a choice. And our choice, while we might say we do not choose to love as Christ loved, what we choose to do is walk in the Spirit by faith, with this being our objective, our goal. How do you get the love that the Holy Spirit pours? Walk by faith in the Spirit. So our decision is not a decision to love. I'm gonna love as Christ loved and get it all down and go out and do it. No, you're not going to do that. Flesh cannot produce this love. But what I'm trying to say is here, God doesn't choose to love. God is love. Secondly, now, 2 and 3, kind of close here, so you've got to stay with me now. Point 2. Let me just talk to you about what I want to do. I got it down in a long, too long paragraph, and it made sense when I typed it up, but I just want to talk to you what I'm going to talk about here so that you'll see where we are here. We're talking about God's love. This came up when I was at Dan Hills a couple of weeks ago. Went down there a couple of days, and we were talking, and it hit me when I was talking to him. Wow, wait a minute, this is something I have not addressed. And let's see if you can walk this journey with me. When we talk about the magnitude of love, what are we talking about? When we talk about magnitude of love, what are we talking about? Intensity? Hello? I'm sorry? Ability? Major ability? Okay. Huh? Measurability, yes. Yes, that's it. Intensity, measurability. Thank you. Now, question. See if you get this. Do you think God's love has degrees of magnitude? No. No, his love is constant. The highest magnitude, constantly. So whenever we deal with this is an important little thing we have to deal with, because somebody could really, the more I thought about it, boy, somebody could really challenge this, because I'm saying that love has magnitude, spiritual love has magnitude, human love has magnitude, and we know that from Scripture. But when we talk about divine love, let's be sure we understand there is no magnitude, as it were, in the sense of degrees, in the sense of measurability in God's love, in that sense. God, let's get it now down into some thought process here on the point 2. God is infinite. God is immutable. Okay, if we add that to his love, what do we come up with? We come up with God's love is infinite and immutable. Now, what is immutable? It's a theological word that means immeasurable or unchangeable. It can't change. So if we want to talk about the magnitude of God's love, it is fixed. It is the highest magnitude. I came back from Dan and really lost about a day, almost a day, in reading. Went to the library reading physics books and all this stuff, trying to find a sixth magnitude somewhere in physics that would draw. And there is, you get lost. I don't ever want to get lost with my analogies, illustrations. When you spend your time explaining an illustration, you're in trouble. You lose the whole thing. It's like, if you got to explain a joke, forget it. If you got to explain the illustration, forget it. It isn't going to illustrate. So let's just, in our simplicity here, understand God is infinite, God is immutable, therefore God's love cannot improve. It cannot get a higher magnitude. Your spiritual love from the Spirit and mine can, but not God. God's love is immutable, infinite, it cannot improve. God's love is eternal, therefore an eternal in its purpose. So while we can and we will, I will not back off from saying the magnitude of God's love is that he gave his son. Because what I'm saying is, this is the highest magnitude. This is that constant, extreme concept of the magnitude of love that he gave his son. And even Scripture says that it's what? It's just a demonstration, which tells me right there, boy, it must be even greater than that. This is just an demonstration of His love. And if this is just one demonstration, wow, the magnitude of His love. This is why there are so many things that I cannot answer in Scripture. I'm leading up to the love of God. And we'll come to some of those things when we talk about irresistible love. But His love is of such magnitude that just a demonstration of it is, okay, you want a little demonstration of the magnitude of my love? I'll give my son. That gives an illustration of His love. So we will talk about it in that sense, but let's be sure that we understand here that we're not talking about that God could love more, less. His love cannot improve. It is infinite. It is immutable. It is eternal. So these truths of God's love, eternal, unchangeable, what does this do for us then? I hope. What this will do for us is to give us a great comfort. What a wonderful, wonderful sense of security in this love to understand that His love is unchangeable. It just gives the believer a sense of stability, consistency in a relationship with God. I can be this far away. I can be this far away from God's plan. It doesn't matter. His love doesn't change in its intensity. His love doesn't change toward me. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to understand the magnitude of God's love. So at first I went, oh, no, man, what is this going to do to my whole illustration of love? And the more I thought about it, it just increased it for me. Because our minds can understand measurability, and now we're seeing a love that just doesn't have it, doesn't change. Wherever you are, it's the same. It's the same. So it becomes a wonderful sense of stability, security, and confidence for us living the Christian life. So the magnitude of God's love, immutable, it is consistent, it is infinite, it is eternal. Anything you think about God's essence, God is what? We know another essence of God, an attribute of God is faithful. Okay, that means His love is faithful. His love will always be faithful. So there's just so many things about understanding the love of God that we will be touching upon on and off. Okay, point three. A picture of the love of God. A picture of the love of God with the things that we've been studying is found, and I want this in our notes. I know we've done it, but let's have it now in our notes. John 3:16, where we have for God. So we're talking about God's love for God. And then we have so loved the world. So we have the source. This is from God. So, and that means in this manner, so loved the world. Now there is our direction. And the world means everyone in it, not some of the world. And we spent one night a little time ago. This is a very important verse. It doesn't say some of the world, part of the world, just the world. It didn't say only those who believe. Only those who would believe. Didn't say that. Said He loved the world. And this is the concept. If you remember our study from John, this is why that study is so important. Darkness without Him. He loved the world. Now, that's the direction. That He gave His only unique Son. Okay? So that, and we're learning about love now. Love has direction. And here it is. That He loved the world that, so when you say you love, something's going to happen. That He, the source, God, gave. And what He gave was His only unique Son. So now what we're looking at here is the magnitude, a concept of magnitude. It gives us a demonstration of the magnitude of His love, is that He gave His Son. This is gives an ideal of the highest state of stability and constant that His love is. This is the way He loves. God loves. So this is a God, people, that you and I can trust. This is a God we can go to. Not a God that we have to fear. Not a God to be feared. Here's a God that when we're His enemies, He gave us His Son. Wow, that's the God I want to come to. That's why He says, the kindness of my love draws you to repentance. Pulls you to repentance. Okay. So this is the magnitude. He gave His Son. That He gave His only Son. That. Now here's the effect or the impact of love. that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what is the impact effect of his love? Life. Now, this is what's going to happen in spiritual life. But I want us to begin to understand as life, some of you have children and teach them about love. There's some common things about human love. Human love would give life. Now, it doesn't mean life in the sense that we're studying it, but if a person really loves another person, they have life, as it were. They give life to that person's existence. And sometimes we hear people poetically say, and we understand they don't mean they die, but, you know, if you weren't in my life, it would just be incomplete. And speaking of their husband, their wife, this type of thing. This love gives life. And that's one of the impacts of love. It's one of the effects of love that we're going to see. Love gives these things, the impact of it. And we're going to study a lot of the impact of love. Okay, point four. Take a look at the love of Christ. Take a look at Christ's love. This is the love that the new commandment speaks of, that we love one another as Christ loved you. Now, remember that Christ, that the love of the humanity of Christ came from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked by faith, we'll see that back this the next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but the next, because God the Father is going to give the Son the Holy Spirit without measure. He's going to give him without any qualification. So Jesus Christ is going to love by the power of the Spirit. So when we have the new commandment that you love one another as Christ has loved you, how does Christ love? And we've got so many different ways we can answer that. How did Christ love? We've looked at God's love, how God's love here, but still dealing with God, how did Christ love? Okay, let's kind of go through a couple of things. How did Jesus Christ love? Okay, first of all, he did not love by his deity. Had Jesus Christ loved by his deity, then we're stuck, because we're not the deity. We can't do the new commandment then. Had Jesus Christ loved by his perfect humanity, we're stuck, because none of us are perfect. I know Dave Smith's father and mother got him pretty well convinced, but in truth, none of us are perfect. Okay, so we're sunk there. We can't do it. Aha! But Jesus Christ, if he loved by his deity, we're out. If he loved by his perfect humanity, we're out. But Jesus Christ chose to love by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Pow! Now we can do that. Now we can love as Christ loved, because we are given the Holy Spirit without measure. We are going to have the same power system that he had, so we can do this. That's one way of looking at it. How else did Christ love? Christ loved, one, he loved sacrificially to self for the benefit of others, even his enemies, taking it to extreme example. So how did Christ love? Sacrificially to himself. This becomes very important when we start looking at love in the human realm. A lot of people, there are a lot of people like to talk about virtue love. Let me tell you what virtue love is. Virtue love is a love that protects the flesh. It's a love that always is concerned with the flesh. People, that's not the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. The love that comes from the Holy Spirit will sacrifice self. Always sacrifice self. We're going to talk about some of these things as we go through for the benefit of even those who sin against me, hurt me, wrong me, our enemies. So we have this concept in regard to how he loved. We have to know how he loved. Then we can look at how Jesus Christ loved in our study. What the direction of his love was toward the world, you and I, when we were his enemies, the magnitude of his love. John tells us in 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that what? Anybody remember 1 John 3:16? We know love by this, that he laid down his life. So that's how Jesus Christ loved. He loved by laying down his own life for us. We ought to lay down our lives. So if we're going to look at how did Jesus Christ love, we get a pretty good picture of how he loved. And the effect or the benefit of this is we came to him. We came to him by faith. We're going to have something else even in the realm of human life. You see somebody in the sense of what love really is. Love draws people. It's not going to draw everyone, because there are those who we're going to deal with that as far as their life is concerned, saying, no, I'll earn this love. I'll work for this love. I don't want this love. A lot of these kinds of things that people want to do. A lot of people don't want it by grace through faith. They want to work for it. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I thought of John Hinton. We get this picture. Of course, John elaborated to this thing, but this picture, you know, God is just up there. Why are you working so hard when I just want to give it to you? Why do you have to work when I'm standing here waiting to give it to you, and you're just out there working for it, and I can't give it to you? If you'll stop, I can give it to you. I will give it to you. And it's just free. If you just come to me and trust me to give it to you. So Christ's love for us has what? It has an effect. Every one of you here tonight who have accepted Christ as Savior, you know the effect of that love. You're saved forever. It has an impact on it. I hope no one here doubts their salvation. I know what happened at the cross. I know what his love did at the cross. And no matter what a scoundrel I may be, I trust his love in eternal redemption, eternal salvation. So this is the effect of his love. Now, secondly, there is human love. There is human love that comes from all members of the human race. We'll come back to that if you allow me to come back to that in a moment. Let's note the third one. The third one, there is spiritual love. Spiritual love that comes from a new spiritual creature, a born-again believer who is walking by faith in the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things, of the many things that the Holy Spirit does, he pours in his fruit. And the primary fruit that he pours in is his love. So this spiritual love is a love, it's a spiritual love, it is a love that is poured into the new spiritual creature, which became that by faith in Christ, being born from above, being born from heaven. God is Spirit, so we're a spiritual creature. And new spiritual creature walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit pours, as he says in Romans, pours spiritual love through us. So this is spiritual love. And again, we're calling it spiritual love to make it distinct from divine love and from human love. So we want to make those distinctions. Now, we have a great deal. All of our study will be on spiritual love, so we'll be elaborating on that. Let's take a look in closing at human love. Let's take a look at closing at human love, for indeed we all have human love at some point in our lives and are affected by it. Human love is common to almost every member of the human race, unbeliever, believer. As far as the believer is concerned, this love, human love, functions whether you're filled with the Spirit or not. Human love functions, people, whether you're walking in the Spirit or not, whether you're carnal or not. That's unlike spiritual love. Spiritual love can only function, will only function, when you and I are in proper rapport, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Human love functions whether we're carnal as far as walking in the Spirit is concerned or not. Doesn't depend on that. Whereas spiritual love is dependent upon faith, human love is going to function. It depends on the person. It depends on the character. We'll study this. And it depends on the person he loves. It depends on the object of their love. There's a lot involved, and we'll highlight some of these things. Human love can be developed. And as a child grows into an adult, some cases a person becomes hardened. A lot of people in our society, I'm finding and studying and learning, are really hardened to love. A lot of people in our society. Things happen in their childhood, and they grow up hardened, and they're just not going to love, and they're not going to receive love. And when you come in contact with those kind of people, and I have, it's a difficult thing. Now, they're not vicious people. They're nice. But they're not going to love, and they're not going to be loved. That's all there is to it. And you're going to get so far as a fellowship and a relationship, but that's it. And it has a great damage in their spiritual love. But I'm not going to get off on all of that kind of stuff, except periodically when it comes up. So this category of love comes from a believer, unbeliever, and has nothing to do, and not just in a strict sense, with being filled with the Spirit. Let's talk about virtue. Virtue love, as this is often called in a lot of churches. Virtue love. Now, I want to make some things clear. Virtue love is not spiritual love. Spiritual love is not virtue love. But virtue love is a very good title for human love. It's a very good title for humans. Trying in the flesh to duplicate the love that can only come from the Holy Spirit. What they think it's going to be like. What they think. And this is where this concept of virtue love comes from. Trying to make it happen. Virtue. What does the word virtue mean, people? Virtue means in conformity to a standard of excellence. Virtue love by man is man trying so hard in the flesh to duplicate the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And what he's going to get is Ishmael. Not going to get Isaac. Man trying to make it happen. Man trying to love in the manner that God, the Holy Spirit, loves. And you're going to get a semblance of love, and it's going to look good. It's going to look just like Ishmael. But it's not Isaac. It's not the real thing. You can't make spiritual love happen, people. It doesn't depend on your virtue. My virtue makes this love. My virtue toward my wife, my husband, my friends, depends on my virtue. And that's why, people, now think about this. Virtue love is a product of the flesh, and that's why the unbeliever and believer are impressed with virtue love. They're impressed with that. But not impressed with spiritual love, because they don't get to do that. You don't get to be and make spiritual love happen, work. All of you and I can do is walk by faith in the Spirit. He pours in this love. We're going to study 16 plus, but at least 16 in 1 Corinthians. We're going to study 16 impacts of love. And what I want you to understand is this is not what you are. You don't make those things happen. You are not long-suffering. You are not kind. You are not those things. That's what love is. And I'll show you this in the Greek. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Not you and I. I can't make that happen. Virtue love will try to make its love long-suffering. Virtue love will try to make its love kind. Get an image of what that looks like and then make it happen. And work hard at it. But people, when you walk by faith in the Spirit, He just pours this love through you that already is those things. This already is. I guess it's stupid example, I don't know why it came to my mind, but on TV, you know, you can go to this trouble and make the pie dough from start with the lard and the flour and round it and do all this stuff and lay it out and cut it, or you can get Aunt So-and-so's pie crust already fixed up, put it in the oven, and there it is, boy, and it's great, better than you'll ever make at home. So you can try to make it happen and have the kitchen a total mess, or you can walk in the Spirit. And people, He just pours in this love that's already all those things. You don't have to make it happen. What's virtue love? I'm going to make it happen. It depends on me. It depends on my character. Virtue love depends on the character of man. That's why man is impressed with virtue love. I'm doing this. I'm making this happen. I'm very proud of my love. So you and I are not going to have that. Love does not, what? Evolve itself. Why? Because that's not the characteristic of spiritual love. But virtue love, very proud of virtue love. Man is very proud of the love that he makes. So most Christians in their effort of virtue love, now listen, when you're concerned about virtue love, By definition, you're concerned about yourself. You're more concerned about yourself than you are others. You always want to make your love that's coming from you. Make it look virtuous. Make it look good. See? What are we going to find in 1 Corinthians 13? Love does not seek its own. Love is not concerned about itself. Now, I want to close here, but I just want to give you some ideas. When Christ hung on the cross, in shame, he wasn't concerned about himself. When Jesus Christ was down on his knees, washing feet, his love wasn't concerned about himself. Spiritual love is not concerned about itself. Virtue love is always concerned with itself. What does it look like? How am I doing? I've always got to be concerned with self. The people of the love that the Holy Spirit gives you will always be concerned about the other person. They'll always be concerned with the object, the need, what's going on. So we're gonna hold it here now. In 2 weeks, we're not going to be here next week, but 2 weeks from now we'll get back and just pick up a little bit, because I don't want to just slap this and stop it, because we have a lot of things I want to talk to you about: human love, spiritual love, and how they sometimes they look alike, but they're not. And so we have a lot of things to work. Any question on all of this? If you ever have any questions or anything, please feel free to ask during class or after or whatever. We're in that kind of a situation right now. Okay, let's close in prayer. By the way, just before we do pray, a little commercial. Tomorrow night's going to be very important. We're going to talk about lying. It seems like a lot of people in America are really big on lying. And we're gonna begin Lie Not to One Another. And we're going to see some powerful things in this. And a lot of Christians, boy, they just act like that's the worst thing in the world. And we're going to look at some pretty strong believers in Scripture who've made some pretty powerful lies. And we're going to see what God did. So we're going to enter some very important study in human relationships, our inner relationship with one another. Why we lie, what is a lie, and what happens, what should we do when another lies, when another believer does lie. So we got some important things. I'm very thankful that it's come up at this time in our nation's history and in our own lives. So let's pray. Father, your ways are not our ways. Our ways are from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our ways, we think we've got it all figured out, and they're not your ways at all. Humble us, Heavenly Father, that we can allow the Spirit to show us your ways, that we can see your ways, and they become ours then. Father, we praise you for the God that you are, that your love is a constant magnitude of love, an unchangeable love. It's an infinite love. A love, Father, that we can depend on, count on, and trust. So as the psalmist says, Father, we trust your love, and we praise you that you are a God of love. When we hurt in soul and in life, we trust your love. We praise you, Father, for the God you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.